Genesis 17. We'll read through the chapter to start this evening, beginning with verse 1. Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep, between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him." "And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year." Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael. And all the men of his house, born in his house, or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and this opportunity to come together and open your word. We turn this time over to you. We pray for a grace and mercy. We pray for your Holy Spirit to use your word to minister to us. to correct, to convict, to encourage, to inspire, to have its way, and it would not return void, but it would accomplish its purpose in our hearts and lives. We pray for your blessings on this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing the story of Abraham. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about Abraham. And we get to follow along in this journey of Abraham through many years, through many failures, many victories, many different experiences, times of waiting, times of experiencing wonderful blessings, times of famine, times of fear. We get to walk with Abraham through many journeys. That was really the thing that encouraged me and blessed me reading this chapter. How from beginning to end you see that there's a process taking place. There's a journey that he's on that at no point in the story is the journey complete. Is the process over? There's progress taking place. There's a direction he's going throughout the whole story, throughout his whole life. I just want to point out five things in this chapter that are true throughout his whole life and are true in our lives too, as to the purpose of the process, the reason for the journey from God's perspective. Why do we go through this life? We have ups and downs. What's the meaning of it all? What would God want to accomplish through each day, through each experience along the way? That's what I want to kind of approach this chapter with that in mind. First thing I see here is that the purpose of his process, Abraham, is always about a relationship with God. God appeared to Abraham on multiple occasions. God spoke to Abraham. And the idea wasn't just that he wanted him to do something and leave and go away, but he wanted to develop a relationship with Abraham. Abraham was called a friend of God. And this whole process from beginning to end was developing more and more of a relationship between Abraham and God, getting to know each other. We see in this chapter, in verse 1, Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram, God initiating, and as he does with us, initiating the relationship, and said to him, I am Almighty God, El Shaddai, giving him another title, telling him more about who he is, sharing with him. I read in our daily bread this week about how Jesus said to his disciples, no longer do I call you servants, for a master doesn't tell his servants all things, but I call you friends. For everything my Father has told me, I've shared with you and revealed with you. And the author of Our Daily Bread was talking about how friends open up and share things with each other, confide in one another. And that's how Jesus is. He opens up, he shares things about himself. He confides. He doesn't hide himself. He reveals himself to us. And that's how God was with Abraham. I'm El Shaddai, God Almighty. I wanted to tell you something a little different about me today, Abraham. I want to get to know you better. I want you to know me better. As throughout the whole process, he developed a relationship with him. In verse 3, we see that Abraham fell on his face and talked with him. He also fell on his face in verse 17. And Abraham fell on his face. And we see that through the whole process of Abraham's life, he learned his posture before God. And when he fell on his face, that really was speaking of his humility. Man, I'm not worthy. In comparison to you, God, I'm nothing. I have nothing of myself worth boasting. And it also spoke of his submission and his surrender. You know, you're speaking and I'm going to obey. We sang the song, You Are My King. And we learn proper posture before God as he desires to develop a relationship with us. We talk to him. He speaks to us and reveals himself to him. And we learn to come before him with the right heart and posture and attitude and mindset as we draw closer to Him. We learn to develop and cultivate interaction and a relationship with God. That's God's desire for the journey of our life. We think, why is all this happening? Well, one of the reasons why this all is happening is that through the process we can learn, we can get to know God better. We can learn more about Him. That's one of the things that's most important in the whole process of life, getting to know God. Now, although we get to walk through Abraham's life, we get to see good and bad. We notice here in verse 1 it says Abraham was 99 years old. Look at verse 16 of chapter 16. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So for 13 years, there's nothing said about Abram in his life. There's a pause. There's a silence in Scripture. Now, I would assume that the Lord didn't appear to him in those 18 years. I would assume that Abram didn't get to know God any better in those 13 years. Because Abram was doing his own thing. Remember, we talked about his own agenda and plan, him and Sarai came up with. And you know, I believe that it's God's desire for us to develop a relationship with Him. And that's one of the ultimate purposes of life. And yet we can go through seasons of life where we're not cultivating and developing a relationship with God. That's not God's desire. But we have a will. And as soon as we return and fellowship is restored, God will even use times of failure to teach us lessons to get to know Him better. But we have a choice. And from God's perspective, what's one of the things that is most important in life is to get to know Him and develop a relationship with Him. And we can go through life making every encounter with Him count, taking time and getting to know Him. Or we can neglect that area of our life. We see Abraham from the beginning when he's introduced back in chapter 11 and 12. And we walk through and we see how by the time we get to chapter 22 and following, Abraham really got to know God good. In fact, we see that Abraham understood God in a way that very few people do. And we see that as we dig in deeper to Abraham's life. I believe God wants to get to know us, and He wants us to get to know Him well and develop in our life, through the process of life, a relationship with Him. Proper posture, interaction as He initiates. Also in this chapter and throughout the whole story of Abraham, I see that the purpose of the whole process not only was a relationship with God, but was also faith, believing. I see it all the way through. And the reason why everything happened the way it did was largely because God wanted Abraham to believe. He wanted him to believe more. He wanted to teach him and grow him in his faith. I see that throughout the whole story of Abraham. Look at verse 2. God, as He appears to Abram, He says, "I will make My covenant between Me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." He always seems to say that when He talks to Abraham. "I'm going to make a nation of you. I'm going to multiply your descendants. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you this land." Look at verse 4. "As for Me, behold, My covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." Look at verse 6. "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish My covenant between Me and you, and your descendants after you and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And verse 8, "Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Why does God tell Abraham all these things that He's going to do when He hasn't done them yet? Because He's trying to grow and teach him faith. He's trying to stretch his faith. Always telling him, "I'm going to do this. It doesn't look like it. But I want you to believe in what you cannot see. Look at verse 16. And I will bless her, speaking of Sarah, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now this is something new. This is something that God never specifically told Abraham yet. He said, you're going to have a child by Sarah. And he fell on his face and laughed. He says, I'm 100 years old. She's 90. How is that possible? But why is he telling him something new today in this chapter? Because he wants to push his faith even further. Why does he wait till he's 100 to promise him that he's going to have a son? And later on he says, this time next year. Why didn't he tell him the date 30, 50 years ago? So he didn't have to think that he was missing something. Because it's all about faith. Life is largely all about us learning to believe. And believe Him more. And believe Him better. And believe Him for something new. As I was thinking about this whole process of things, it never stops. Last week, we seen that Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed. He had faith. And yet here we see God pushing a little more. Because it never ends. God wants to develop more of a relationship with us. And God wants us to believe more. This is what life's about. This is why we're here. These are the types of things that life's about. Getting to know God and believing. Believing more, growing in our faith. And God initiates. God will create a process in our life in which we can get to know Him better, in which we can believe more. Growing, pushing. Look at verse 19. Then God said, no, Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And then in 21, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Specifics at the right time in order to grow faith. So, what is the purpose of the process of life? One, developing a relationship with God. Two, faith, stretching and growing our faith. But also I see here and throughout Abraham's life, obedience, a purpose of life, learning obedience. Look at verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Oftentimes, when God appeared to Abram, he told him to do something. Separate from your family. Go to the land of Canaan. He was giving him instruction. Why? Why does God tell us to do things? Why does he tell us to do different things? Why does he tell us to do hard things? Because he's constantly trying to develop more and more of an obedience in us. Again, Abraham just obeyed God and did everything he said in the past. But God's pushing and asking for more. This is another thing that life's all about, to learn to obey God and what he tells us. Look at verse 9. After he gives him all the promises, God gives him more instruction. He says, and God said to Abraham, as for me, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you through your generations. And he goes on to describe how he is to circumcise himself and all the male servants and his son and all those that were bought in his household. Giving him instructions, something to do, something to obey. Obedience, God is teaching us through life. Obedience. And not only what to do, but also accepting what not to do. Look at verse 19. When Abraham said, let Ishmael stand before you, God says, no. I like that. Part of obedience is accepting when God says no. But God, I want this. What about this? No. God was teaching Abraham obedience. And you look at the whole life, the whole story of Abraham. God told Abraham to separate from his family. And remember, he didn't do it right away. But through the process of time, more and more, he obeyed. God told him to go to the land. It took him a while, but he obeyed. And God's constantly pushing and giving him more things to do and developing obedience in the life of Abraham, as I believe he desires to do in all of our lives. teaching us what to do, teaching us to accept His way over ours, and through the process of life, becoming obedient children of Him. Purpose of the process. I see also something else here. So relationship, faith, obedience, all of these things cultivated through the life of Abraham. But also definition. There was a process taking place in Abraham in which Abraham was not the same person. He was changing. God was changing him. And we see that especially in this chapter as he said, "Abram, your name shall no longer be called Abram, but Abraham." Now in those days, names meant a lot. And what your name was really spoke of who you were. And God's saying, "I'm going to change who you are." And Abraham meant father of nations, where Abram meant a father. "I'm going to change your definition, Abram. You're to be called Abraham." And Pastor Chuck makes the point that the difference between Abram and Abraham is the letter H, or the sound of breath, and how the Bible teaches that his spirit is life and breath, the Hebrew word for spirit. How God really was giving his spirit, putting his spirit in Abram. "I want to add something to who you are. Breath, spirit." Abraham. Same way he changed Sarah's name. Sarai, added the H, the breath. Sarah. But I believe that this is the purpose of life. We're here and God wants to transform us. He who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. We are new creations. And God, and the process never stops or ends. God wants to redefine us, remake us, recreate us on a regular basis. He wants to change who we are. I believe even this picture of circumcision speaks of that. Now we're going to look at a couple scriptures that deal with circumcision. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 4. Many things in the Old Testament, like animal sacrifice or the observance of Sabbath days, really are shadows and types, and there's a deeper meaning and purpose behind it. And the same is true of circumcision. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem." Take away the foreskin of your hearts. That's not what Abraham did. They weren't cutting off pieces of their heart. But that was the purpose. That was the picture of circumcision. See, circumcision for Abraham was an outward sign that they were a part of this new covenant. And it set them apart. They were different than everybody else. The circumcised and the foreskin of their flesh. And yet, it was a picture of how God wanted to circumcise our hearts. They cut away the flesh of their foreskin, but God wanted to cut away the flesh of our hearts. God wants to mark us in not just a physical way, but a spiritual way that separates us from everybody else, that marks us. Hey, you're someone different. You've had your flesh cut out of you. There's a mark about you that's different. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Redefining Abraham. Setting him apart, a sign that made him different. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Speaking of circumcision, Paul writes to the church at Rome, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." And circumcision is that of the heart. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Just a couple more here. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. See, you go through Scripture, and sometimes they referred to as the Jews as the circumcision. That's what, you know, set them apart as Hebrews and Jews. And there was the uncircumcision. The uncircumcised were the Gentiles, those who were not Jewish. But here Paul telling the church at Philippi, we're the circumcision. We're a part of the group. We're set apart. And not because we're Jewish. But he says, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And one more scripture in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In Him you were also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Oh, we can be circumcised. The process of circumcision in a spiritual way happens today. The circumcision made without hands, by removing our flesh, by cutting away the flesh of our hearts. So, going back to the story in Abram, here's Abraham, and the whole story of his life was a process that changed who he was, redefined who he was. And here God's saying, I want to rename you, and I want to mark you to set you apart. I want to change you, and I want to take something out of you. I want you to be different. And again, in our lives, that process of transformation and change, I believe God wants to continue and never stop. That's what life's about. Relationship with Him, faith, obedience, and recreation and redefinition as we're changed by Him. And finally, I see here, as you look at the life of Abram, you look at this chapter, God's promise. What is the purpose of the process? Promise. See, God was always giving promises to Abram, but not just to teach him to believe. It wasn't like God gave a bunch of promises so Abram would believe them, and that's it. No, there was also fulfillment of those promises. And that's part of the whole thing. That's part of the joy of experiencing a life with God. He fulfills His promise. That's part of the process. He's already fulfilled many promises to Abram. And throughout his whole life, there's fulfillments, and there's promises of further fulfillments. And this is how life goes in a walk with Christ. It's a life of promise and fulfillment of those promises. So, you know, in reflecting over this chapter and what we can get out of it, we see that the beginning of this chapter, Abram is just coming out of a 13-year period of his life when he really didn't develop in his relationship with God. He didn't grow in his faith. He didn't grow in his obedience to God. He didn't change for the better. And I don't believe God fulfilled any promises or gave him any new promises during this time of 13 years. And yet here God comes back. You ready to get started again, Abram? God never wants the process to cease in our lives. He always has more for us. And I'd encourage you to, you know, look at these five things today. And I hope we're all inspired by these things. Oh God, may my life and my relationship with you develop and grow along the way. Sometimes we're looking at the wrong thing. Life is not about learning a skill or promoting yourself. Life is not about making money or promoting your agenda. What is life about? What does God want to do? Why am I still here? Why does God want me to stay here for 50, 70 years? What's the purpose? This is a big part of the purpose of life, developing a relationship with God, growing in our faith, learning to obey Him, allowing Him to change us, becoming a new creation, different, changed, new, and then experiencing the fulfillment of promises and believing that there will be more. I pray that this process would be active and healthy and growing in all of our lives as we go forward with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you and we thank you for the example in Scripture of Abraham. Now, though he failed and he wasn't perfect and he had weakness, he went forward. And he's a wonderful example of one that developed a healthy relationship with you and got to know you very, very well and deeply. Who believed and had great faith and obeyed, did great things. And you changed him and redefined him, and you fulfilled your promise to him. Oh God, we want to have a story like that. We want our life to develop in that direction. Change us. Grow us. Strengthen us. Pray that you draw us close to you. Love you. We praise you. We believe your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd be merciful and gracious to us along the way, that you'd forgive our failures, that you'd give us another chance and help us along the way, as we know you will. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.